This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. What is going on? Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. It's been a busy time in Caps world. Thank you for taking time for us, listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. So it's been busy. The Caps have been busy. We got the draft. We got free agency. We got the Caps Don't Care About the Fans Fest. All that's been going on.
Right into it with so much anger.
Joining me now, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I'm doing better than you are, apparently.
I'm still angry about FanFest.
He's so upset, ladies and gentlemen. So angry.
A particular lady friend was at FanFest sending me photos of her meeting all of the alumni. And every single time I said, hey, can you tell them your friend does a podcast and ask them to come on? She would not help me out.
What's up with that?
I know. She met all the good ones. Kolzig, Bradley, Locker, all those guys. And not...
Is Bradley working for the team now?
I think so. But not even a little mention of What the Puck. What? That's some crap. But anyway, let's talk about it. The draft happened. I technically was somewhat right when I said that the Capitals would be trading around to make the first pick to get a player that affects this team immediately.
You were not right. I was more right than you were.
I think we both were semi right wrong.
I said they're going to trade back.
And I said they were going to trade.
I thought it was going to be further than two picks.
Right. I said that they were going to get a player to make an impact immediately, which technically they did both of those things.
We got it. Sure. All right, I'll give you that one.
So let's talk about Lars Eller coming from the Montreal Canadiens. He is now a Capital. I think it's pretty obvious where he's going to be. We're going to see him on the third line. He's wearing number 20. What do you think about this trade? Is this a good guy to bring into the organization?
Yeah, I think this was a really good deal. I think that last season they had some troubles with the third line. McClellan came out and talked about how he wanted to upgrade the third and fourth line in this offseason. We weren't going to see an offseason of them making a lot of big moves. They were going to be more depth moves, things for the organization. And for the team on a smaller scale, you're not going to have the big, giant, crazy trade. But they had one of those pretty interesting in being able to bring in Lars Eller. I think he's fantastic for the third line. I think you put him on a line with Marcus Johansson, depending on what happens with him. And either Tom Wilson or Brett Connolly, who we'll talk about momentarily, I think this could be a very good third line. They definitely have upgraded themselves in the speed area. I think Lars he's a good player. He's good in Montreal. Things weren't working out necessarily at the end, but he sounds like he's a guy who's excited to come in. Apparently, he has to get his daughter a pink room. I saw that bit of information. Apparently, that's important to bring up. I like the move. I think it was very good to bring him in, and I think he's going to fit in nicely. I think that the team views Johansson more as a winger, and I think that Beagle really is a better fit on the fourth line as a center. It's not an insult to Beagle. I mean, Beagle on the fourth line of an NHL team still makes you better than probably 95%, if not more, of the world in the sport of hockey. But overall, I think McClellan has done exactly what he said he was going to do. He wanted to go out and upgrade the third and fourth lines, and he's done that.
He absolutely has done that. I like that about Brian McClellan. He goes out, he tells you what he's going to do, and then he does it. You know, there's no smoke, there's no mirrors, there's none of that kind of stuff when you deal with him. He goes, we got a 2-year period or a 2-year window to really make this thing happen. First year didn't work out. We're gonna work on the third line, the fourth line, and we're gonna make them better. And he went out and did that. Now let's talk about the guy that they drafted first round, Lucas Johansson. I'm guessing it's a guy we're not going to see for a while. He's coming from the WHL. Was this another time where the Capitals just picked the best guy that was available at the time, or did they? You think they specifically went after this guy?
So the story is they wanted to go after somebody a little earlier, but he ended up getting picked, and so the Capitals went and traded back. And I think they lucked out. They got what looks like maybe a pretty good defenseman in Luke Johansson. He is the brother of
Marcus.
It's Johansson, not Johansson. Though it depends on who's speaking, apparently. With the announcers always calling him Marcus Johansson, like it's not even close. He's Swedish. Come on now. You got to sound it out differently. But Johansson is the brother of former Columbus. Was he first overall pick? Now with the Nashville Predators, Ryan Johansson, the center. And so apparently Luke ended up being a defenseman because when they would play as kids, someone had to stop his brother. And so he's just like, I'll just play defense. So I think this kid could be a very good defenseman. I like what they're getting for him. They're getting someone that, you know, he's going to have an understanding of the NHL game to some extent by his brother playing there. Maybe not necessarily playing it, but he understands the life to some extent. It's tough when you're drafting that far back. It's always kind of a risk. You have guys that you pick up, like Sasha Puckluck, who end up being garbage, never playing in the NHL, and then you find guys that are actually pretty damn good, like Mike Green, who you find later in the draft. I mean, Green was picked after Jeff Schultz, if I remember correctly.
Really?
And we saw how that turned out for Schultz.
Well, one of them has a cup, one of them doesn't.
You know what?
I'm just stating the truth.
He didn't even contribute!
I'm just stating the truth.
No, you're not. It's crap. It's garbage, and it's not besides the point.
Name's on the cup.
I like to pick. I think it was a good one. I think that this team was going sort of for best player available, and they got someone who I think is going to end up being a very good player for them in the future.
Yeah. Is there anyone that you think of this draft class? Because, I mean, we don't have to go through each one because we don't know how these guys are turning out. Is there anyone that we're going to see in a year or two, or are these all going to be long-timers?
I mean, Johansson certainly will have a shot to make the roster, but I imagine it's this year. I'm sure he'll get it. Like, he's going to come into camp and they'll give him an opportunity to play.
Right.
But I don't think it's necessarily going to be this season. But, you know, if he, I feel like I read something that he might be playing in Hershey next season, but I don't know how true that is. I have to look it up. But I think that my most disappointing thing is that they picked up in their third round pick. So they didn't have a pick in the second round. They got a third round pick by moving back from the 26th to the 28th pick. They made a trade with St. Louis. They picked up a third round pick from them. And with that pick, they drafted forward Garrett Pylon. I wanted him to be a defenseman only for the jokes that could be made because his last name is Pylon. And I thought that would have been funny. They got a winger named Damian Rhea in the fourth round. They picked up a winger, Breck Melliston, in the fifth. They got another fifth-round pick where they picked up a guy named Axel Janssen, or I think it's Janssen, Fjallby. I want that guy to make it just because his name is really cool. First, his first name is Axel. That's awesome. Yeah. It could be Axel Foley, Beverly Hills Cop. And his last name is Fjallby, if I'm saying that correctly. That also looks cool. I want him to make the team. Then they picked two defensemen with their sixth and seventh-round pick in Chase Prisky and Dmitry Zaitsev. So I like the pick. They got a lot of forwards. Four forwards, three defensemen. I think it was a nice roundabout. You know, like we've said in the past, you're sort of going with a lot of what scouts are saying, and a lot of it is low risk, high reward to some extent. The later picks, it's hard to find guys, and we'll see how good McClellan's draft class is and how good these scouts are. And within the next, you know, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years with some of these guys and how long they take to develop and if they end up making their way over.
I like our fifth round, our first round, or our first fifth rounder, Beck Malestine, I believe his last name. He's from the Calgary Hitmen, who we have had some pretty good luck getting Calgary Hitmen into the organization. But he's 6'2", 190 pounds. That's a big dude to be playing hockey.
Big gentleman.
Yeah, and he's a left winger. Of course, we got to see a couple of these guys. At least you and I saw them in pictures from developmental camp. It was weird. I don't know what. Is this normal to have somebody like Madison Bowie and Riley Barber, who have a year in the Hershey Bears, to come back for development camp? I was a little surprised to see those guys back.
Yeah, you always have some of the guys that are still young that come in. It's an opportunity for them to play more hockey. They're a little older. They're a little more comfortable. It's an opportunity for the coaches to see how he's developed. And you have guys like Barry Trotz that don't see them as often because he's a little busy during the winter. And he doesn't really get to make time for the minors or for the youth systems. And so for him to have the opportunity to see these guys, I think was good. And I think it's important for that, for their development, to be able to work with a guy like Barry Trotz.
And working with the coaches that you're hopefully going to know down the road, it was cool to see Samsonov. He came in for the first time. He got drafted last year. He's the Russian goalie who won the KHL Cup. He worked with Mitch Korn. We saw how well Mitch Korn worked with Braden Holtby and made him become a better goalie. Like you said, it's good for their development. I think that's that's really good for him. We're pretty stacked at goalie, but to have him come in and work with Mitch Korn, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, I think it's great. They had a little bit of communication problems because Samsonov doesn't speak English. But they had, what was his name, Sergei Kucharov, who works with the Caps. I think he's one of their PR guys. He was helping with translating, and he's on the ice. But the kid seemed like he was getting more. He was very uncomfortable the first day, but he started to get more comfortable. It seems like he's going to be a very good defenseman. It's going to be a couple of years, and I know that the Caps want to see him, and I believe he does, obviously he does as well, want to see him taking on more of a starting role this upcoming season in the KHL. They want him to be playing more and getting more development under his belt as opposed to just sort of sitting in the back and watching.
I mean, that makes sense. I completely understand that, but it'll be interesting to see what happens later on down the road. Did you see any of the photos from like FanFest or the Saturday scrimmage? It definitely didn't look like that place was packed like it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, from the pictures that I saw, it definitely didn't seem like it was. Yeah, I mean, it was a little awkward. No, I'm used to sort of sitting out behind the glass and not having an opportunity to really see what's going on. I see one side of the ice. I look like a stalker kind of hanging out there, peering around people's heads. They turn around and see me just kind of standing there. It's got to be awkward for them as well. But, yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you don't have the two things together. And, I mean, you and I were talking. I was wondering if it was more like a fire hazard kind of a thing, or there's a fire code violation by having that many people.
Yeah.
Then again, you brought up the good point that they could hold it at Verizon Center. Now, I don't know what's available at Verizon Center necessarily on any given night, but, I mean, I don't know. It's a tricky situation. We know how you feel regarding that particular thing, but
I was thinking after I told you that, though, and they probably couldn't do it at Verizon Center because there's probably not ice down in the summer. So they have to put, you know, they have to put the rink together, put the ice down. It probably wouldn't work at Verizon Center as much as I would like to see the scrimmage there, because I think that's another big thing about developmental camp is that you give these guys an opportunity to be like, look, this place is going to be filled when you come to the big game, and you know, this is just a portion of the fans that you'll see there. So I thought that would have been like something really cool for the players to see, but like I said, I don't think there's ice at Verizon Center after the Caps are done.
Well, they'd have to go and, you know, reinstall it, put it back in. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like it would make sense to have those two things together. I was really surprised it was on. Like, if you're going to do it on an evening, it's a Friday night or a Saturday night.
Right.
On a Wednesday night?
Not a Wednesday night. A Wednesday afternoon at 3.
Sorry. Wednesday. Yeah.
Get your facts right.
It was. Shut up. It was weird. Like, the whole thing, it was a very weird choice. I didn't understand it. I it just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, so besides development camp, we had to say goodbye. We had to welcome back a couple players. Let's talk about the good news first. Let's talk about the fact that Capitals re-signed Zach Sill to a two-year, two-way deal and re-signed Tom Wilson to a new two-year contract. Brian McClellan came out and said, we want Tom Wilson to do more. We want him to develop a little bit more. We want him to be the next Joel Ward. Obviously, this is a way for the Capitals of saying, like, we got faith in you. We're going to pay you like we have faith in you. You got two more years to prove you got something. They're backing up the truck to him, and they're attaching in their bandwagon to him and saying, look, this is our guy. We're going to have him for the next couple years. So what does this mean for Tom Wilson? What do you see him doing in the next 2 years? Until his next contract?
I feel like they overpaid him.
You think so?
Yeah. I like Tom Wilson, but I don't think he's done enough or necessarily shown enough to be worth $2 million a year. Where they want him to be at and where he is at is two different things. I think they want him to be a third line guy who looks like he could potentially be ready next year or so to be on the second line, and we just haven't seen that yet. We have not. We've seen the effort. We haven't seen the offensive skill for him to be able to do that. And to be making $2 million a year in a year where the cap hit didn't go up as quite as much as everyone thought it was going to. Mm-hmm. And bringing in Eller, who I think is at 3.5, and they had Winnick, who's, I don't know, his is like $2 million or something around there. I was a little surprised that they gave him as much as they did without having the sort of stats to back it up. But I like having the guy back, and I think that if he's someone that they didn't bring back, he would definitely be a prized free agent for people to go out and want to sign.
Now, a two-year deal, before this whole expansion draft happens next year. Is this a sign that they might actually save him next year and he could be one of their protected eight?
I think it'll depend on the season he has. If he has another sort of – no, because I think even if he has a season like last, they'll protect him. But if he has like a garbage season and he shows regression, they might be like, all right, we'll take a chance on losing him.
Now, do you see this next season coming up? Do you see him moving up at all? Last season, I guess it was considered two seasons now ago, we did see Tom Wilson get some top-line minutes with Ovechkin, with Backstrom, testing him out there. Is there potential of him moving up?
To the third line. I'm not going to go up any higher than that. He's not going to replace Williams at this point. And he's definitely not going to replace Oshie. Yeah, so I think it's that. Third line. I don't imagine that's going to happen. So he's going to be third or fourth line. And if it's third line all season, I'm fine with it. If you can go and put in a decent amount of goals, get some double-digit goals, decent amount of assists playing with Eller, and if it's Johansson or whoever. If it's Johansson, Eller, and Wilson, mm-hmm. he's going to have some good opportunities to get the stats up, to get some points. But he's got to start showing it.
He's been quite the experiment the last couple of years, and this might be his last shot with the Capitals the next 2 years. But we'll see what happens down the road. But how is he gonna get through day to day life without best friend, best roommate, bro beans as they like to be called? Michael Lotta didn't get a deal going out the gate and became a free agent. Got picked up by the Kings. He's officially no longer a Capital. The final nail in the Phillips Forsberg coffin for the Capitals is now gone. How is Tom Wilson going to get through this without Michael Lotta?
Why do you have to bring that up?
It's true. He's the last little
bit.
I know.
You always get E-Rat back. You never know.
George McPhee was so excited about Lotta. He was like, yeah, we got E-Rat too, but this Lotta guy, he's going to be our money maker.
Wait for this guy. He's going to be great. The thing that surprised me about Lotta was they kept coming out and saying that all of their restricted free agents they wanted to at least send an offer sheet to. And they I don't even know if they sent one to Wilson. I think they assigned him to a deal. But they gave one to Johansson. They gave one to Orlov. And then they didn't give one to Lotta. And everyone was like, well, who? Wasn't he supposed to be coming back? Are you going to break up the buddies? What's going on? And they ended up letting him go. And he signed a one-year deal with L.A. And I think it's a good opportunity for him. I don't know if he's going to play in L.A. quite as much as he wanted to. But I think it's an opportunity for him to sort of make a name for himself and be able to play some more hockey potentially than he did in D.C.
Are we going to see a Michael Lotta versus Tom Wilson fight? Super Bowl Sunday, Kings versus Caps.
That would be pretty funny.
Would they?
I honestly wouldn't be surprised. But I don't know. I mean, part of me would be just because they're buddies. But it depends. Like if Lotta's still trying to make a name for himself and earn a roster spot, which I imagine he will be, and if Wilson goes and like levels Gavrik, I imagine Lotta's going to go have some words with his buddy. And it's like when you're on the ice, you're not friends anymore,
right?
You know, that's just how it is. So if they got to fight it out, they'll fight it out.
And also leaving the Capitals was Jason Chimer. He's now an Islander. Staying in the Eastern Conference. I'm a little surprised about that.
Staying
in the Metro. We're going to see a lot of Jason Chimera next year. What do you think about this one? Because I'm really sad to see Chimera go. He spent a lot of good years here in D.C. He's kind of like the – I always said he was kind of like the heart of the team because he's been here so long and been through so much. And he still, even last season, had some wheels on him. You know, he was the ice cheetah. But no longer a Capital. He's heading up the road, going up 95, I guess.
Going to Brooklyn.
He's no sleep till Brooklyn for Chimmer. What do you think about this? Are you sad to see Chimmer go?
Yes and no. I'm sad to see him go because I like him as a player, but I think it was time. And the amount of money that he got was like 2.5 or 2 million a year. It was more than the Caps should be spending on Jason Chimera. not trying to be mean, but if you think about it, I mean, they went out and signed Brett Connolly to a one-year deal worth a reported total of $850,000. Mm-hmm. If he can give the same production, if he has the same level of speed, they save themselves a lot of money for a guy who's also 24 years old and was a former sixth overall pick from Tampa in 2010. So Connolly can end up replacing Chimera and be significantly younger and significantly cheaper. It's a good deal in the end.
All right, so yeah, you just told me some stuff I didn't know about Connolly. I didn't know he was a six overall pick. That's really interesting. You're saying so where do you really see this guy sitting? Is he going to be a fourth liner? Do you see him on the third line, or is he just a depth guy? Is he a guy that could go to Hershey a lot?
I see Connolly as a. I think where Connolly lands will be a result of how Wilson plays. If Wilson plays well enough to be on the third line, Connolly's your fourth line winger. If Wilson is outplayed by Connolly, Connolly's your third line right wing. Connolly's position depends on Tom Wilson's development.
What about players like Jacob Varana and some other Hershey Bears? Could they overshadow a guy like Connolly?
I mean, maybe if they outplay him and Wilson continues to play well. I think Wilson's on the team no matter what. I think Varana's on the outside looking in, but they're definitely going to give him a look. I'm surprised that Galiev is still on the team. I honestly thought he was going to get dealt, but he's still around. I think he definitely has a shot. I think the third and fourth lines are a little bit up in the air. I think Eller's spot is definitely there. I think Winnick and Beagle's definitely there. Wilson has a spot. We just don't know which one it is.
Right.
And some of it depends on what happens with Marcus Johansson, because McClellan came out and said they have a number in mind, and Johansson's camp has a number in mind. If they can't get close enough and fit him under the cap, Marcus Johansson may be traded.
Ooh, yeah, so let's talk about Johansson here. He decided to file for arbitration. He's not unfamiliar with arbitration. Did the same thing last year. What does this mean? The fact that these guys, that the organization and Marcus can't ever figure out a number that works for them, and they have to go to an independent source to do that. Why does this keep happening?
I don't know why the way you said that made me laugh. An independent source. That just sounded funny. I don't know. I mean, I think they value – I feel like the team probably values each other equally, but where they can fit in terms of their cap space is nothing. You always have players who are going to try and make as much as they can possible. It makes the most sense. And you have teams that are trying to save as much as they can so that they have enough money to be able to spend in other areas of the team. I think that McClellan handicapped himself a little bit by how much he spent on Niskanen and Orpik, and we're seeing some of that come back to bite them a little bit. Not that those – bringing those two guys in was a bad idea. I was wondering if they had to spend quite as much as they did. And then you see, like, the cap didn't go up quite as much as they thought, and so they don't have as much money to play with. I think Johansson will end up being on the team, I imagine. His stats were not quite as good as last season, so he'll definitely get a raise. I just don't know how much of one it will be. But we'll see if they even make it to arbitration. I mean, sometimes guys will file for arbitration, and then they'll end up getting a deal done later on. So it's all still definitely up in the air.
And hopefully we'll figure out what's going on with Marcus pretty soon. I always liked him. Like I said, I've said this the last couple shows. I wish he would be our third line center. We would have worked on getting someone.
Now we got Eller.
We have Eller. So that's pretty much my theory is completely out the door. But we'll see what happens with Marcus. Another guy that did not file for arbitration, and the organization and his representative are still fighting it out. Dmitry Orlov. Why not go to arbitration for Dmitry Orlov? How come he decided to go the other way?
My guess is that they may be closer to a deal than we know, and that maybe he just didn't see the need to do it. I'm a little surprised. If you arbitration can be a tricky thing, because basically you have the team comes in and says all the things that you didn't do well enough, and then you go in and say all the things you did do well enough. So it's awkward. Like, you come in and you're like, hey, here's my employer. And they're like, you didn't do this. You suck here. Screw you. And you're like, all right, well, I don't want to play with you anymore. Like, it's an awkward situation. So maybe Orlov was – maybe him and his camp, they're close to a deal, and they feel like they don't really need to worry about that and that they'll get something finalized should it come to that. The other thing with arbitration is that let's say Johansson is awarded a certain amount, and maybe I'm misunderstanding this, but let's say he's awarded a certain amount and – the team doesn't want to pay it, they can just be like, peace, and he becomes a free agent.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it'll come to that. I think he'll be traded. They'll probably sign him to the deal and then move him if it's more money than they can spend. But either way, I'm sure they'll find somebody, or they'll find a way to make it work out.
Could the Orlov thing be that maybe it's not pay, maybe it's the amount of time on a contract, because maybe they want to sign him to a one-year deal. He wants more of a commitment because
– Probably.
Again, I think that Orlov's the one that's going to go in the Vegas expansion. I think Orlov's one of the guys we lose. So could potentially the Caps going, look, we only want to sign you for a year. And Dmitry's kind of going like, yo, man, come on. I don't know why he would say yo, but he would say, you know, I want to be here for a while. I want to hang out with Ovi. I want to hang out with Stan and Kuzi instead.
His desire to hang out with his Russian brethren, I don't know if that's necessarily what he's been thinking. I don't know. The arbitration thing is just kind of it's an interesting game that teams play. It's dangerous because you run the risk of pissing somebody off.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so last guy we got to bring up, the Capital signed Brad Malone from the Carolina Hurricanes.
Depth move.
I talked to our friend Alexandria, who loves our GIF wars on Twitter. I asked her about this guy, see if she could give me any kind of inside info. She said the same thing. It's a depth guy. He's kind of he's more of a goon.
Hope he enjoys
guy.
Chocolate. That was me.
He's a Hershey guy.
I think he's even one of those guys that's for Hershey. Him, Christian Thomas, defenseman Darren Dietz, and goaltender Joe Kanata. I don't know if that's how you say his name, but I'm doing it because it sounds funny. They were all signed to one-year, two-way deals. These guys have got to be going to Hershey. That's my guess. They have some depth moves for the Bears. I know they lost a couple of guys, and some of the people up in Hershey weren't too happy. I know there was a rumor going around that the Bears are going to drop their affiliation with the Capitals and link up with the Penguins. I don't imagine that's going to be happening.
I was such.
Apparently, those rumors happen all the time. This is just the first time it got like more interesting. No, my guess is the Caps and the Bears will be affiliated for a while.
Why don't we make up a rumor and see who
picks the Capitals up on it? Are moving an ECHL team to Baltimore.
Speaking of the people leaving Hershey, I just did want to bring this up. Justin Peters. He's heading out to Arizona.
That's your boy.
For I don't know if he's going to be with their AHL team or NHL team, but Justin Peters, no longer a Bear. He's down. He's going to Arizona. Enjoying the desert.
That's your boy, JP.
Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Going through my notes. No, I think we got everything. I mean, it's going to be weird to see Lotta in another team's jersey. It's going to be weird to see Chimera. In another team's jersey. I remember when they acquired him for Milan Urchina and Chris Clark. I like Chris Clark. I still have his t-shirt. Doesn't fit. It's too big.
Humble.
I really want Garrett Pylon to make it. I don't even know how to say his name. I just like his last name. And Fjallby, if that's how you say it. That dude's got a really cool name, and I will totally get his, what do you call it, jersey tee. If that dude makes the team, I'm getting it. That dude's got a cool name. I want it.
I want to get a jersey tee of Daniel Winnick just for the sheer fact that his three Bulldogs have their own Instagram account and they're friggin' hilarious. And I love Bulldogs. And like, he went down a slide with one of the Bulldogs in his lap, made my 4th of July.
I have no response to it. I'm out.
We linked up to that video on our Facebook page in case anyone is interested. But all right, I think that's pretty much it for Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and where are we going? Are we going around the NHL or down?
We're going around the NHL. We don't have time for this because nothing's really happening in Hershey. The Stingrays got a new head coach. Stingrays name, I don't even know how to say his name, Warsawski as the team's new head coach. Ryan Warsawski has been named head coach and director of hockey operations. He's only 28.
He's 28 years old.
He is the 7th head coach in club history. He takes control of the bench after serving as manager of hockey operations and assistant coach for 3 years. Congratulations, Ryan Warsawski. Good luck. Tell Vanacek we said hi.
I'm turning 31 in like 2 weeks, and he's 28.
32 in a few weeks.
Oh.
I always forget our birthdays are very close.
I didn't realize that.
That our birthdays are close together? Yeah.
We should have a joint Kettler ice rink party.
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
It really does.
I'll take this the wrong way, but no thank you. No.
All right.
Too expensive.
Well, I'm going to go pick up the pieces of my broken heart off the floor.
You'll be all right.
Take a quick break, and we'll be back with Around the NHL. But first, here is the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, we are going around the NHL. The Capitals, they stayed pretty quiet during free agency, getting some depth guys, making some trades at the draft. But there have been a lot of moves in the NHL, a lot of players going to different places. This is why you always get the franchise guy for your jersey on the back, because you never know who's going to be going away anytime soon. Coach Dan, catch us up. Where's everybody at?
Remember how for the last couple of weeks we've been like going around the NHL and I'm like, yep, nothing happened. This is going to make up for all of that because holy crap.
Fashion your seatbelt, guys.
Stretch it out. You got to make sure you don't want to hurt anything. Don't want to pull a muscle. Got to make sure you're nice and limber. All right, here we go. The biggest move of the offseason had to be that upcoming prize free agent Steven Stamkos decided to re-sign with Tampa Bay. 8 years, $68 million. That's a cap hit of $8.5 million.
Pretty shocked there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're gonna like this one, Brandon. One-time Capital prospect Philip Forsberg signed a 6-year, $36 million deal with Nashville. That's a cap hit of $6 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to fit that under the cap salary cap. Speaking of Nashville, they are not playing around anymore as they made a massive trade that, no joke, to some extent shook the NHL. I know that sounds so cliche, but it did. They sent Captain Shea Weber to Montreal for PK Subban.
Woo!
That was when I think you texted me that, and I was just like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
I knew Subban and his antics to some extent were wearing out their welcome in Montreal, but wow. I was first shocked that Montreal moved Subban and then it was Nashville moved Weber. I thought that was pretty crazy. But then Nashville went and signed Yannick Weber, and I guess they were just like, we need to have somebody with that last name on the team. So that worked out well for them in the end. Edmonton also made a big move, but I feel like they came out on the wrong end of this one as they sent first overall pick Taylor Hall to New Jersey for defenseman Adam Larson. I think New Jersey is going to be a much improved team this season, bringing in Taylor Hall. Detroit sent Pavel Datsyuk and a first-round pick to Arizona for Joe Vitale, a first-round pick and a second-round pick. Now, this isn't as big of a deal because Datsyuk has already said that he will not be returning to Detroit and instead plans to sign with a team in the KHL. Montreal wasn't done making moves. They also brought in Andrew Shaw from Chicago for 2 second-round picks. Brian Elliott got dealt from St. Louis to Calgary for a second-round pick and a conditional third in 2018. Buffalo, who is also not playing around anymore, traded for defenseman Dmitry Kulikov and a second-round pick from Florida for defenseman Mark Pieski. I don't know how to say his name, Pieski, and a second- and third-round pick. Buffalo also signed former Islander Kyle Okposo to a 7-year deal worth a reported total of $42 million. That's a cap hit of $6 million. Per year. The Sabres then also traded for goalie prospect Anders Nilsson from St. Louis for a 4th-round pick in 2017. Former Capital and your boy and dancing man Troy Brouwer signed a 4-year deal with Calgary worth a reported total of $18 million. That's a cap hit of 4.5. Eric Staal, who I really thought was going to go back to Carolina after getting dealt to the Rangers, signed a 3-year deal with Minnesota for $10.5 million. That's a cap hit of 3.5. So let's recap here. Eric Staal is making less money per season than Troy Brouwer. No offense, Troy Brouwer, but what? That doesn't make sense to me. David Back is signed with Boston for 5 years at $6 million a year. Milan Lucic signed with Edmonton for 7 years with a cap hit of 5.5. Andrew Ladd signed for 7 years with the Islanders, comes with a cap hit of 5.5. Islanders who lost Okposo but got Ladd. Interesting moves coming out of Brooklyn. And Vancouver signed Louis Erickson to a 6-year deal with a cap hit of $6 million. We're almost done. Hang on there. Alexander Radulov, remember him? He's back in the NHL, this time signing with Montreal for a one-year $5.75 million deal. We'll see if he actually sticks it out with this one instead of running back to Russia. Brandon shaking his head, no. Tomas Vanek, who was released by Minnesota, signed a one-year deal with Detroit worth a reported total of $2.6 million. And finally, San Jose signed Michael Bodker to a four-year deal with a cap hit of $4 million. Now, those are only some of the trades that went down. Sorry, some of the moves and trades that went down in the NHL. There's a ton more, and a great place to go see them is TSN.ca, Canada's version of ESPN. They do a great job. They have a trade tracker and a free agent tracker in their NHL portion of their website. It's where you can find all the deals on who got moved and how much money in terms of free agents, how long the deals are for, how much money. It's all very crazy. You got Jordan Tootoo. He's got a silly name. He signed with Chicago. I can't even pronounce this guy's name. Magnus Pajarvi. He is with St. Louis. You got P.A. Parenteau going to the Islanders. It's all kinds of crazy stuff going down in the NHL. It's all a lot of fun. And it's going to look very different next season with a lot of these teams.
The whole NHL is going to look different, except for the Capitals, who are going to look pretty much similar. But it's just I was shocked about PK Subban moving. I figured Montreal would keep him for way longer than they did, and for him to go to Nashville, which I don't really think of as a hockey town, but from what I hear, like, Nashville's gotten huge with the Predators. They've gotten, like, their fan base has grown exponentially. So, I mean, hopefully that's a good place for him to go. I couldn't get over it. Is it just trading, or is it because they are worried about next year's Vegas expansion?
That's a good question.
I thought a lot of these moves were in response to people going, like, look, we're not going to be able to pay to save you next year. We're going to get a little bit of cash out of you this year so we can make some moves next year.
I think some moves were probably made with that in mind, but not all. I think some teams are going for it knowing that they may not have that opportunity in the future. I think some teams are going to have a little bit of space that they have a couple, you know, they know that they're going to have some space to sign some guys. Every team's only going to lose one player. So I don't think it's a ton of people freaking out. I think teams like the Capitals.
It's only one? I thought it was two.
No, sorry. Every team, I think, is only going to lose one player.
Okay.
So I think that when they were talking about having two teams, you could lose two players. And they're talking about Quebec potentially being one. But I think for the most part, you're going to have teams that are making moves for this season with also looking at their roster going, yeah, we may have an opportunity to bring in a guy here that we can protect and maybe keep another guy that's off the protected list that we're not so concerned about potentially losing.
Now, let me ask you, what was the guy's name that came back from Russia?
Radulov?
Yeah, however you say it.
Alexander Radulov.
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 Let me just say, I think he will stick around. I was shaking my head about whether or not he's going to stick it out in the NHL. I think he will stick it out in the NHL because he's a good player, but ain't no way he's going to stick it out in Montreal. I don't see a Russian player who likes Russia, went back to Russia to play. I don't see him doing well with a Canadian team like Montreal with such a rich history in Canada. If he goes to, like, maybe like the Florida Panthers or maybe like a team like the Blue Jackets or something like that, I can see him doing well. But Montreal, no way.
I think the media is tougher probably in, I don't know if it's tough in Toronto or Montreal, but I think the media aspect of things is going to be real interesting and in how he's going to handle that. Because he's going to have you're signing $5.75 million. You're going to be someone that they're going to want to talk to and talk about if you're not producing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so is that it for the show this week?
Yes.
All right.
You know what? I take it back. We forgot one thing. Boyd Gordon, he signed with Anaheim. They're going to the cup. Sorry, that was mean. It's just funny because he used to be with the Caps.
Yeah, he did.
He played him on a line with Jaromir Jagr.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find some of my old writings and probably next season maybe find some new stuff at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, do you remember who the bobblehead's going to be for the Inova blood drive?
It's going to be Dmitry Orlov.
That's what I thought.
What I'd like to just call it as random mannequin wearing a Caps jersey, because it doesn't look like Dmitry Orlov in any way.
It's still better than the whole piece thing. But yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment.
Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Make sure you go over and like our Facebook page, Facebook.com/BrandoCash and Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. This is probably going to be the last show for a little while, guys. It's going to get pretty quiet in Caps world.
Aww.
Unless we figure out arbitration, unless someone gets hurt.
If something happens, we'll be back.
Yeah, if something happens, we'll be back. But what you want to do is make sure you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, so you will know when a new show comes out. Also, if you want to just be surprised when you check out your podcast app, all you got to do is click subscribe in the iTunes app, the podcast app on your iPhone, iPad, and that will let you know immediately when a new show goes up. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return from you guys to do this show for free, have it available in all those free places, is to please spread the word about the show. Let people know that you're a Caps fan. They have 99 days left until Real Caps Hockey returns, and that you listen to What the Puck, and you're getting prepared like everybody else is.
Where'd you get that number from?
Well, yesterday was 100. They posted that on their Facebook page.
You did
so
simple math.
Math,
okay, cool.
Math, negative one.
Math makes sense. I
yep.
like it.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Yeah. So what you got to do is spread the word about What the Puck. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope. And you know what? Get yourself an Uber. Tell the Uber driver about us. Play our show whilst being driven around in an Uber or Lyft, and spread the word about What the Puck that way.
Dude, I saw a Lyft car for the first time this past week.
Really?
And Uber I see all the time. They have the little U. Lyft? I don't remember where it was when I saw it.
D.C. maybe?
Hmm?
Were you in D.C.?
Mm-mm.
No?
Where was I? I can't remember. But I saw it. Yeah. I don't remember where it was. But I saw it and I was like, what is that weird thing in the... That says Lyft. I've never seen that before. Cool.
All right, guys, that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Thank you so much for listening to the show. It's been great. We're going to go on a little bit of a summer vacation. I'm saying all of this knowing tomorrow.
I'm not. Oh, something's going down.
Marcus Johansson will be finished with arbitration tomorrow, and we'll be doing
the
show.
They will trade Johansson for Sidney Crosby.
Oh, God. Oh.
How would that even work on the team?
That would be horrible.
Okay, let's be honest. That would be a great move.
It would be a great move, but it would also be a clash of personalities.
Dude, he's a very good player, and he would be great on the team. But I imagine Backstrom would be bumped back to the second line, and I don't know what they would do with Kuznetsov.
He would be a very good addition to the team on the ice. I don't think he's a good guy to have in your locker room. Kind of like Tom Brady. You know, good on the field, but do you really want him on the sidelines? All right, well, that's it for the show this week. Thank you guys for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
Let's go, offseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.